This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Thursday edition of Prop Points right here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, and the program, as always, is being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen. And what a program we have forthcoming. It is game day, Thursday night football down there in Tampa Bay as the Buccaneers take on the Falcons to kick off week 15, first week of the fantasy playoffs. It is the most important weekend in the history of fantasy football, and we're all about it. I know I say that every year, but it's true. I say it because it's true. But we're talking props here today. We'll break down all our notable data points for the big game. Per usual, we've got stats out the yin yang. We'll chop it up with our guy Tom Brawley, aka the Grinder, see what he has cooking, and then we'll make my official picks, plus a Thursday night special. And this morning when I woke up very early, I think I had nightmares about this game, not really feeling warm and fuzzy about it, with the Atlanta Falcons being pretty lame on offense and with the Bucs struggling as well. But I did dig in here, and I got six more. And I actually feel pretty good about them. So we shall see, and we are presuming as of 101 Eastern that Mike Evans is going to play, and of course Drake London is not going to play. So we'll pop out the official picks plus the Thursday night special at the end of the show. As always, the program is brought to you by Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where you turn your sports knowledge into cash fast. Download Better at better.app now. Sign up today, get a free $10, no deposit needed, and of course, make sure you're downloading, accessing, subscribing to the Prop Points podcast wherever you get your pods, Apple, Spotify, etc. Well, news, notes, and nuggets coming down the line. Obviously, the Bucs have activated Big Mike Evans and also Jalen McMillan, but I don't know if McMillan is going to play tonight. I'm not going to delve into that. It seems like Mike Evans is way further ahead. It seems like McMillan maybe is a week behind Big Mike. Big Mike did work last week. Steelers TJ Watt is currently in a local hospital for further medical evaluation after a lung discomfort situation in practice yesterday. So obviously that would be a big one. Josh Jacobs, my man, is iffy quite a bit, and his head coach Matt LaFleur said, quote, "It's more than likely that Jacobs will practice today." So that would be a pretty good sign if he practices today. Let's say we get a limited practice in today and we get a full practice in tomorrow. I would imagine we'll be okay there with Josh Jacobs, but you need to have Wilson, the backup, just in case. And by the way, Marshawn Lloyd has been working out. They have not activated him. I don't know what that window is. I think it's maybe another week or so, but just FYI, Marshawn Lloyd, there was a time I thought he was a darn good prospect. It's been a completely lost year so far for Marshawn Lloyd. What else do we have going on here? Devon Achan will be limited in today's practice, or probably on the practice field as we sit here right now live doing this show. I actually have already printed out your week 15 injury report, and I do have the critical injuries that I'll be keeping an eye on as it relates to fantasy and as it relates to propage. Ladd McConkey was limited in practice, so we'll see about that, because I love Ladd in this game. Justin Herbert still limited, and Keenan Allen didn't practice, but that might be because he's old. For the Chiefs, Trent McDuffie is limited in practice, so I would imagine he'll go, but we'll see about that. Right tackle Juwan Taylor out of practice still. Browns have a bunch of dudes on the injury report here, like Betonio, Conklin on the O-line, Tyson Campbell on the back end, Mason Graham, the outstanding rookie, Dylan Sampson. They got a lot of injuries here. Wyatt Teller, Denzel Ward. I mean, it is that time of the year. for the Bears, Roma Dunze was limited in practice to start the week. So that bodes well for him returning this week. Olamide Zaccheaus also limited. So they might have a full complement of receivers for Caleb Williams in a big game. They're all big this time of the year. Marvin Harrison not practicing, probably not going to see him. Buda Baker is out of practice. And then their two starting tackles are out of practice. That won't be good for Jacoby Brissett if he doesn't have his two starting tackles up against Houston. That is scary stuff. Speaking of Houston, Kamari Lassiter out of practice. He's the outstanding starting corner opposite Derek Stingley. And Woody Marks out of practice. So we'll see about that one. We'll see what's up with that. Ravens, Bengals, Awuzie out of practice. He just returned. We just mentioned Trey Hendrickson, his on IR, and then T. Higgins. He's limited, but he's in the protocol. I would not expect T. Higgins this week. That'll be a good week to take a look at Mike Gesicki props that we'll probably do tomorrow. Raiders, Eagles. Raiders have a bunch of dudes out of practice to start the week. Max Crosby, Jamal Adams, the former Jet, Jeremy Chinn, the former Panther. Looks like we'll get Michael Mayer back. Great. As if Brock Bowers didn't have enough obstacles. Let's get Mayer out there to command a couple of targets. Looks like we're going to get Ken Pickett, by the way, for those Raiders. For the Philly Eagles, Jalen Carter still out of practice, so that would be huge for Ashton Jeanty. Lane Johnson did not practice, but I still think we're hoping that he returns. Landon Dickerson was limited, so the O-line could be back to full strength. Jets, Jaguars, Breece Hall out of practice. Not a great matchup for him. Mason Taylor out of practice. I don't really want to trust Mason Taylor because Tyrod Taylor was also out of practice for the Jags. Parker Washington limited, so it looks like he'll return. And everybody else is limited, so we're probably good there. Bills, Patriots. Let's see what we see here. Well, Dalton Kincaid, full practice. Let's go. Dawson Knox, on the other hand, out of practice. So that could mean a few more targets for Dalton Kincaid this week. Joey Bosa looks like he's trending toward playing, as is Terrell Bernard and maybe even Josh Palmer. So we'll get him back. For the Patriots, Barmore and Harold Landry limited. But hey, you're limited to open the week. You're probably going to play. Commanders, Giants. No Jaden Daniels. Chris Rodriguez looked very good early in the game last week. He's out of practice, so that could open things up. If he's out, then Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt will probably get 15 touches for the Giants. Thibodeau out of practice. Tyrone Tracy is going to practice. Good matchup there for the Giant running backs, no doubt about it. Green Bay and Denver. Green Bay does have some guys like Bullard, who is their safety slash nickel corner, is very good. He's been limited, so maybe he returns. We talked about Josh Jacobs. Jaden Reed, limited, looked pretty good last week. Denver and what do we got here? Oh, 49ers, Titans, my bad. Denver only has one Bryant to close out that game. 49ers, Titans, we have Chigakonkwo out of practice. Could be Gunnar Helm o'clock if he's out of the game. Tony Pollard, only took him 14 weeks to start heating up on the ground, but he was out of practice. So we'll keep an eye on that. Could be good news for Tajay Spears. Jeffrey Simmons didn't practice, but that could just be a day of rest for him. Same deal with McCaffrey and Trent Williams. Panthers, Saints, J.C. Horn limited, so maybe we are trending toward a return for J.C. Horn. Mays, the center, is back in practice. He's been banged up. For the Saints, Fuaga, there at right tackle, limited, so maybe he'll return. No Alvin Kamara, but Devin Neal was limited, unfortunately. Lions, Rams, big game. Alex Anzalone, a.k.a. Football Fabio, out of practice at linebacker, good player. Brian Branch, out of practice, great player. And then Kirby Joseph was limited, so maybe he returns. That should be shootout city in this game here. Devontae Adams out of practice, doesn't matter. And they are activated and have activated Tutu Atwell. And then Darius Williams, the starting outside corner, is practicing. Colts, Seahawks. Obviously, all eyes on Phil Rivers in practice, but Riley Leonard did practice in full, as did Alec Pierce. Braden Smith did not practice the right tackle. So we'll see about that. No Sauce Gardner. A lot of injuries this time of the year. For Seattle, Elijah Arroyo is probably going to miss some time. So that's good news for A.J. Barner, who practiced in full. Jackson Smith and Jigba, I see on that injury report. No real concern just yet. And then finally, I wish the Vikings did not have to play on nationally televised game, but their Sunday night football, that hasn't been great for J.J. McCarthy. Poor guy's got to start the career. Like, hey, dude, we're going to start the career in like 67% of your first 9 games are going to be on national TV. But Jordan Addison limited in practice. We'll see about that. There's talking about today picking up the 5th-year option on him. Hockenson out of practice. We'll see about that. And for the Cowboys, Tyler Guyton, starting tackle, out of practice, and Malik Hooker out of practice. CD listed as limited, but he is, you know, still in the protocol. So we shall see about that. We'll see about the data points and the like relating to Thursday night football on the other side in the next segment. But first, if you think you know sports, it's time to start getting paid for it. Better Picks, the daily fantasy app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Here's how it works. Download the Better app, pick more or less on your favorite player stats, and when your pick hits, you win. Right now, new users get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. When you do deposit, you'll get a 50% deposit match up to $200. Year-round action every day of the year on all your sports, and getting started is easy. Head to better.app, that's BETR, download Better in the App Store or Google Play. Don't forget to use the promo code VSIN to claim your free $10 and your deposit bonus today. Better Picks, if you know sports, it is time to prove it, and it is time to pop out our Thursday night football relevant data points. That is next here on Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to this Thursday edition of Prop Points right here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. Time to check in on our relevant data points, also the Opta AI projections. I do have fantasy points projections for all the key players of note for Falcons at Bucks. Kirky Cousins, let's start there. 204.5 is the number. Opta AI comes in a little higher at 214. Fantasy points, we're right there with the books at 206. Not the greatest schematic matchup for Kirky. Now, full disclosure, he ripped them last year, 8 touchdowns and just under 800 yards. But what a difference a year makes, because Kirky looks like he aged 7 years since 2024. Bucks deploy cover 3 and cover 4, 53.6% of the time, and he's had a pretty weak 6.5 YPA with a negative 5.5% completion percentage over expectation. Tampa does give up the 5th most passing yards per game, and they have struggled a little bit. Quarterbacks have accounted for multiple touchdowns in 5 straight games against Tampa, including Tyler Shuck Rattle and Roll last week. Baker Mayfield, he's also on the struggle bus. He's not baking much lately, and if he does, it doesn't really come out right. It's got, I don't know, too much salt or sugar. But Baker at 217.5, Opta AI comes in at 195. We are over at fantasypoints.com, 233. Also not the greatest schematic matchup there for Baker. The Falcons run the 2nd highest rate of cover 3, and he averages just 6.58 YPA with a negative 2.9% completion percentage over expectation. He does run a little bit against the shell, 14 carries for 93. Atlanta allows the 10th fewest passing yards per game, yet the 10th most passing touchdowns per game. Baker, though, only got 167 passing yards in the first matchup in the season opener. Of course, he got 3 touchdowns, and he ran for 39 yards on 5 carries. Not messing around with a Baker rushing prop. I lost one of those about 6 weeks ago. I'm like, that's it. You can't you can't trust Baker at all running. Of course, he did last week, but then he went like a month without running at all. So you can't trust it. Receiving props. How about this? Kyle Pitts is got the highest expected receiving line in the game at 60.5. Opt AI is not believing it though. 51.5 and fantasypoints.com where just under at 59.4. Let's see if he can get 0.4 yards. I dare you, Kyle. But seriously, not the greatest schematic matchup. He averages a pretty weak 1.23 yards per route run against cover three and cover four, which again, he'll see at a 53.6% clip. They're kind of middling against tight ends, giving up the 14th fewest receiving yards per game, 15th most receptions per game. However, over the last 5 weeks, they have given up the sixth fewest schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to tight ends. It's worth minus 3.8 fantasy points, to put it into perspective. So that could be 38 yards right there. Six fewest to tight ends lined up, split from the formation as well. He did have seven grabs for 59 in the first meeting in week one. Of course, he would miss this prop by a yard if he got 59 tonight. More on Pitts at the end of the program. Spoiler alert. Emeka Ebuka, 51.5. Opt AI comes in at 57. Fantasy points comes in at 61.5. Now, he has hit this under, technically, in six of his last eight games. Again, we're presuming that Mike Evans is active here today. So he's projected by us at fantasypoints.com to see shadow coverage by AJ Terrell. So that should get Ebuka on Mike Hughes. Ebuka also has the best schematic matchup of their receivers. He averages a healthy 2.24 yards per route run with 0.30 targets per route run. It's a good number on 131 routes against cover three, which again, they run at the second highest rate. And he got the curve off on a positive note in the opener, 4 for 67 and a couple of tutties in this matchup in week one. Big Mike Evans, I mean, I don't know what we're doing here. 39.5. I really don't get it. Opta AI comes into 38. Maybe he's on a little bit of a pitch count, but this is still very low. Not including the game in which he was injured this year in week seven, Evans has caught four or more balls in 11 straight games, 24 playoffs included. So yeah, we are getting shadow coverage by AJ Terrell. However, the Falcons are giving up the most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to wide receivers lined up on the left side the last 5 weeks. It's a little counterintuitive because that's usually where Terrell is, but last week, Jaxon Smith-Njigba got him for seven grabs for 92. The week before, Adonai Mitchell got him for 8 for 102 in a tutty. And even going back to week 11, a very comparable player in Ted McMillan got 8 grabs for over 130 yards and 2 touchdowns in this matchup here. So maybe the game isn't particularly competitive with Kirk Cousins testing positive for Geritol, but yeah, I'm a little surprised that these numbers are as low as they are. Chris Godwin, 39.5, same number. Opta AI comes in pretty close, 38.9. We're at 37, so we're coming in under. Not the greatest schematic matchup, actually a terrible one, granted on a small sample size. Godwin's missed a lot of time this year. Against the cover three, he'll see 41% of the time, roughly, 0.52 yards per route run. So you compare that to Ebuka, he's at 2.3, Godwin's at 0.5. So I'm not that good at math, but that's a lot different. That's a lot lower. Atlanta, they're about middling against slot receivers. Cooper Kupp actually did score against them last week. Bijan Robinson, 38.5. Opta AI comes in right there at 38. We're higher at 44.4. The Bucs give up the most receiving yards per game to running backs. Do you need any more than that? I don't think you do, but just in case if you do, I'll talk more about Bijan at the end of the program. Darnell Mooney, my former guy, not my guy this year, though, 35.5. Opta AI comes in at 50.9. I can see it. He is kind of the only game in town. We, though, are a little more cautious at 37.4. Not the greatest schematic matchup here as well. Against the cover three and the cover four, he'll see 53.6% of the time. Pretty poor 1.2 yards per route run. And Tampa allows the 13th most receiving and the 11th most yards per route run to outside receivers. Still don't trust Mooney there based on the first schematic I mentioned. Bucky Irving, 22.5. Opta AI comes in low at 9.8, but we at Fantasy Points are at 34, but I don't totally trust it. Atlanta gives up the 14th most receiving yards per game to running backs, but you do have Rashad White and Sean Tucker still involved. Speaking of those running backs, Bijan, let's take a look at the rushing prop number of 74.5. Opta AI comes in a lower at 67.8. Fantasy Points were over at 83.6. Tampa allows the fifth most adjusted yards before contact, seventh fewest rushing yards per game, which is a little counterintuitive, I guess, but they have been run on lately. Bucky Irving, the number is 62.5. Opta comes in at only 46.7. We are 73.4. Middling matchup, basically Atlanta allowing the 16th fewest adjusted yards before contact, the 13th most rushing yards per game. Hey, Breece Hall got him 2 weeks ago for 68 yards on 19 carries. So if Breece Hall can do it, I'm pretty sure Bucky can do it. Tyler Allgeier at 27.5. Opta AI is at 25. We're at 27. There is a chance that he gets a little bit more run as a runner as they make Bijan a glorified wide receiver, but I certainly don't trust it enough. And then Rashad, that's a pretty doable number here. 18.5. Atlanta allows the 16th fewest adjusted yards before contact, but the 13th most rushing yards per game. More on Rashad on the other side. So you'll get an idea there in the segment in terms of what props I'm in on. But when we return from the break, we'll check in with the grinder, Tom Brawley, to see what he is in on. But first, the college football playoffs kick off next Friday, and VSiN's got the guide you need to bet the postseason with confidence. Our college football betting guide is out now, and it features full previews of every first-round game, college football overview, and insider breakdown, best bets and custom brackets from VSiN experts, and more. You can buy the guide right now for $14.99, or you can upgrade to VSiN Pro and get the guide included, plus full access to daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Get your guide now at VSiN.com/CFP. That's VSIN.com/CFP. And joining us on the other side, TB, aka the grinder, aka Tom Brawley of fantasypoints.com. We'll see what he has cooking for week 15 Thursday Night Football.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to this Thursday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of fantasypoints.com, and from the aforementioned website, we go to the Progressive Guest Line to bring in our guys, like my co-host, let's be honest here. Feels like he's always here. The grinder, Tom Brawley, Mr. Availability, Mr. Reliability, Mr. Early Bird Gets the Worm, Mr. Everything. How are you, Tom? What's up?
I'm doing good. Looking forward to this game as much as I can. We have a kind of a stinker here, but Buccaneers are fighting for their NFC South lives, and we'll see what Kirk Cousins and company has. But that's why we have player props here to help us through this.
Well, talk to me before we get into it about what is going on with Mike Evans props, because
yeah,
they're low, man. They're really, really low. And I'm sure everybody's on the right track. I guess he's going to be somewhat limited here. So what do you see out there in the marketplace on Mike Evans props?
Yeah, his props have been falling here a little bit over the last 24 hours. He was activated off the IR at 4 o'clock yesterday. So the props were kind of set in the mid 40s, but we've seen some action on the under. I think there's a little bit of skepticism about how much he's actually going to play. That injury was, I think, back in week 7. He did get some practices in last week to help with his conditioning, but you know, we'll see how much he's actually out there. I could see early downs that he's not on the field, maybe first and second downs, but all the clear passing situations, third downs, I do expect him out there. So I would probably think that he's going to be playing, you know, running routes about 50 or 60% of the time. You know, he's probably more closer to like the 80% route share whenever he's fully healthy. So I would expect a little bit him to be limited a little bit in this game. So I think that's why we're seeing some of his props come down over the last 24 hours.
I will say this. They're currently tied with Carolina. Carolina's playing better than Tampa overall last month. And they got two more games with Carolina. Like, they could lose everything if they don't, you know, win this game and come out of a win. Yeah, this is a big game.
This is one of those they need to win to kind of keep pace. And schedule's not overly difficult, but the way they're playing right now, they're kind of playing like a bottom 10 type of team right now. Baker Mayfield's kind of struggling. We've seen Emeka Ogbuka kind of hit a little bit of a wall, but maybe Mike Evans, maybe this is the elixir, because this is a team that's been heading south basically since Evans got injured on that Monday Night Football game. You know, they played terribly the rest of the way, and they've been kind of floundering ever since. So maybe Evans' presence here will lift the tide for the rest of these boats and in the Buccaneers offense, because it's been kind of hard to watch this offense the last 2 months or so.
Yeah, we're just like, you keep waiting for Baker to like flip a switch. And maybe he did a week or two ago, like a week, 2 weeks ago for like a second there. But the last month plus has not been good. One guy who has looked a little bit better last couple of weeks, I almost played his prop. I should have, because he hit it. But you like the under on Chris Godwin tonight. So what do you see there?
Yeah, this is a little bit of a play on Mike Evans coming back tonight. Jalen McMillan is also projected to return too. So we're going to finally get to see this receiving core back at full strength. So Godwin has been improving here over the last 2 weeks. And his route share was up to like 80% last week. But I'm thinking with Mike Evans back, Jalen McMillan getting some reps, I don't think Sterling Shepard and Tez Johnson are just going to completely disappear too. So I do think we could see a little bit of a rotation at receiver here for Tampa Bay. And I also worry a little bit with Godwin. He missed a lot of time for that fibula injury. You know, he obviously dealt with that all off season. It was a really slow recovery. So I am a little bit worried with this short week, just a couple of days to turn around and play another game, that they might, you know, take it a little bit easier on him, rotate other receivers in a little bit. That's a major part of why I like the under here. But the matchup's also, you know, digging into our metrics at the Fantasy Points data suite. He has struggled this year against cover three defenses. Atlanta plays cover three at the second highest rate. He's averaging just basically a half a yard per route run, 18% target share on those routes run. It is a smaller sample. It is only 44 routes. You know, he did miss a lot of time in the middle of the season, missed some time at the beginning of the season as well. But he hasn't been a primary target against cover three defenses. So that's a big reason why. And Atlanta's been, you know, pretty good against slot receivers so far this year. So I just think maybe he underwhelms just a little bit here. Maybe gets just three catches for 36 yards or whatever it is. This number feels a little bit high with Mike Evans coming back into the rotation. Jalen McMillan, that's going to be the big question here. How many routes does he run? How much does he get involved? He was playing very well at the end of his rookie season. He was a guy that they drafted on day two of the draft in 2024. So I do think they want to get him back involved a little bit. So I think that might come at the expense of Chris Godwin a little bit.
Let me ask you, because I can't recall. Did Jalen McMillan practice last week? I don't think he did.
Yeah, I think
Evans did.
I think he did. I think he was with Mike Evans.
Oh, he did.
They kind of both started working over the last 2 weeks here. So it was almost like they were using last week as a, because they knew they had to play on Thursday Night Football. So it was almost like a little bit of a ramp up to get them ready, prepared for this Thursday night game. So
I just have a feeling that McMillan is a little behind Evans, but who knows? I mean, he has been out longer. Obviously, he's been out pretty much the whole year, right? So anything else tickle your fancy in this game on any side of things? Bucky Irving, rushing, maybe a Buka, anything Bijan, anything stand out to you otherwise?
Yeah, Bijan would be the direction I would look. His receiving yards specifically. I didn't quite get to that one, but that was on the short list for me. You know, we've been kind of targeting Tampa Bay's pass defense all year. Whenever we play with our running backs, they've been giving up a lot of production dating back to last year. I think I remember back all the way back in week one, I gave out a Bijan Robinson over his receiving yards in that game. I think he had like a 45 or a 50 yard touchdown reception very early in that game.
Yeah.
And it has continued through here. Tampa Bay has really struggled against opposing running backs in the passing game. So, and I worry about Kirky here. I mean, we've got, Dylan Drummond, Devin Tompkins out there, David Sills. I mean, who are some of these receivers? Darnell Mooney has been a ghost. I mean, he's had one decent game so far this season. So I think Bijan's going to have to be involved in the passing game. Maybe we get a little bit of Bijan and Algier on the field at the same time. So that's one direction I would look, is maybe looking at Bijan's receiving yards. I think it's about 37.5, 36.5, depending on where you're looking. But that was one that I considered, but didn't quite get to.
We already popped that out as a best bet for tonight's game on yesterday's show, over 37.5. And I don't want to brag, because every single time I say something about our record, we lose. But we have done very well on those early best bets. I see on your little list of plays for week 15, let me cherry pick one. I love this Wandale Robinson one, over 55.5. This is a great matchup against DC. I love me some Wandale. What do you see there?
Yeah, this is a great matchup against Washington. They've been the worst team against opposing slot receivers, giving up the most receiving yards per game and most yards per route run to receivers lined in the slot. But then if we dig a little deeper, they play ever since Dan Quinn took over play calling, which was three games ago, they've been a little less aggressive, more zone-based. They were playing a lot of man coverage earlier. Now they've started to run a little bit more cover four at a 30% clip, and cover three at a 23% clip. So about 53% of the time they're running those two coverages since Dan Quinn took over. And Wandale has been crushing against those coverages. 2.01 yards per route run, 27% target share against those coverages. So I think he's going to be kind of the number one option here. He usually is anyway, ever since Malik Nabers went out of the lineup. So and he also, back in week one, he had six catches for 55 yards, back with Russell Wilson, a quarterback. And that also came with Malik Nabers in the neighborhood. So he's out of the picture. They're both out of the picture. So I do think Wandale can go up over this receiving yards number.
I also like that J-Mo Williams one, even though he's on our DNP list at over 57.5, because that's a double revenge game for both quarterbacks. Should be a shootout. And Isaiah Likely over 31.5 with the best matchup on the planet up against those Cincinnati Bengals. That is Tom Brawley, a.k.a. The Grinder. Great stuff, Tom. Good luck with all the plays. My official play is coming at you next year on a Thursday edition of Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Think you know sports? Get paid for with Better Picks, the daily fantasy app that turns your sports knowledge into real cash. Just download Better, pick more or less on your favorite player stats, and if your pick hits, you win. New users get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. And when you do deposit, you'll get a 50% match up to $200. Play NBA, WNBA, MLB, soccer, UFC, golf, and more. Go to better.app or download Better today and use the promo code VSiN for your free $10 and your deposit bonus. And welcome back to the final segment of this Thursday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. It's time to pop out the picks. I've got six of them along with a Thursday night special. Now, full disclosure, we just got some information on one of the plays that, hey, too late to bail. I guess the graphic's already been made. So I am going to manually bump him down the list. But let's start with Bijan, where we were in on this puppy over 37.5 receiving yards over on DraftKings. I actually, you know, did some digging here. Not only do the Bucs give up the most receiving yards per game to running backs this season, they give out the 10th most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to running backs in the passing game only over the last 5 weeks. So it's a whole season long trend that has continued over the last 5 weeks. And you know what? You know when the trend started? Week one, when Bijan himself got 100 yards with a touchdown on six grabs. Now, the week before, they only gave up 2 for 20 to Saint running backs. I lost that Devin Neal prop that for some reason they didn't really throw to him. They did once, and he caught it for 14 yards. But, you know, they gave up 2 for 20 receiving last week. However, the week before, Cardinal running backs Zonovan, the Dark Knight, and Michael Carter compiled 9 targets, 8 grabs for 83, and a touch in the passing game. I even went back and looked in week 11. James Cook and Ty Johnson turned 5 targets into 5 grabs for 127 and 2 receiving touchdowns. Falcons are 4.5 road underdogs. Atlanta is a long shot to win this one. Stakes are high for the Bucs. So I think the Bucs are going to, you know, put, you know, pedal to the metal, and they're going to be playing from behind. Atlanta will. So Bijan should get this. He has hit 39 yards in 6 of their 8 losses, or 75% of the time. That's pretty good. Next up, I'm going in on Abuka. I'm feeling it here. And I have all the data to support my take, as we outlined earlier. Now, the number is 44.5. We got this over at BetMGM over this morning at minus 115. So 44.5 is doable. He's been under this in 6 of his last 8, though, which is a little scary. However, with Mike Evans set to, I guess when he's on the field, see shadow coverage from AJ Terrell, that would put Hughes on, or Ibuka on Mike Hughes often, and that is the best matchup for the Bucs receivers. Hughes, not that good. He's a former bust of the Minnesota Vikings. They took him ahead of Lamar Jackson. Good job, guys. They didn't even need a corner that year because dumb Mike Zimmer had to have another corner. Anyways, Ibuka also put up 4 grabs for 67 and a couple of touchdowns in this matchup in his pro debut, and he's got the best schematic matchup of all the receivers, averaging a very healthy 2.24 yards per route run on 131 routes against cover 3, which they run at the second highest rate at well over 40%. He also gets 0.30 targets per route run. So if Big Mike is a little sus here, then, you know, Ibuka will likely be the quote-unquote sleeper of the game. But keep in mind, Cade Otton, the tight end, is doubtful to play. They have Payne Durham. They also have Durham Payne. I considered both props. I'm not going in on either one of them. I'm going to go with Ibuka, though. That's a joke that I do to amuse myself. Next up, we've got Kirky Cousins. Kirky was balling in this matchup last year. He had 8 touchdowns for just under 800 yards. But no, he's aged 7 years since then. He looks not that good. I've seen him worse. I think at the end of the last year, maybe very early this year, he looked really bad, and he's looked a little bit better. But I'm going to go in on an interception for Kirky, because I know from my own life experience, you know, he's probably going to go into this game. I threw 8 touchdowns against these guys. No problem. Just 800 yards. Just like your brain thinks you can do something, but you physically can't do it. It reminds me of when I played in the softball league when I was 46. After not playing anything for 25 years with a bunch of 28-year-olds. And I mean, I held my own, but at the end of the season, there was a very critical moment. I'm playing first base, the ball's hit to me, and my brain's like, got it. Body didn't get it. My body did not cooperate. So I'm going to go with that thought process with Kirky. He will throw an interception. And I'm going to go under on Kyle Pitts. I don't trust it. Are you kidding me, Kyle Pitts? Has the highest expected receiving total in a game. Kyle Pitts, I know he's doing pretty well, but it's not an ideal schematic matchup. It's, in fact, a poor one. He averages a very weak 1.23 yards per route run and a not-so-great 0.20 targets per route run against cover 3 and cover 4, which they run 53% of the time. And though he did have 7 grabs for 59 in this matchup against the Bucs, but he has failed to hit 60 yards in 8 of 13 games, 61%, 61.5. And he only hit it 4 times out of 17 in 2024, mostly with Cousins, only good for 23.5% of the time. The other thing is, obviously, we're not expecting Drake London. Darnell Mooney's been a lost cause. They're going to make him, you know, a marked man, so to speak. They're going to pay a little bit more attention, I think, to Kyle Pitts. So I'm going to go under there at 59.5. Hey, he might catch 6 balls and still go under. Now, here is the next one. You notice it's I juxtaposed them, by the way. So can we please mentally bump down the Evans prop to 5th on the list, just in case, because, you know, the movement is such that people are worried. People are scared. I didn't even bother with the receiving prop. I did go with the reception prop because I do think that, you know, there's a pretty good chance he can get there. Like, let's open the game with a screen pass to get him going. There's one, you know. We are projecting shadow coverage by AJ Terrell. But as I mentioned before, Evans does well in this matchup. He caught 5 balls for 51 on 8 targets in the opener. He had 5 for 62 with 2 touchdowns on 9 targets in his lone game against Terrell and the Falcons in 2024. The Falcons, as I mentioned earlier, they're actually giving up the most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to wide receivers lining up on the left side, which is where Evans is about at least 45% of the time. Last week, Jaxon Smith-Njigba got him for 7 for 92. Week before, A.D. Mitchell, 8 for 102 with a touch, 12 targets. Way back in week 11, Tet McMillan, 8 for 130 plus, couple of tutties on 12 targets. So, I mean, I don't expect the game to be particularly competitive, but never know. Kirk Cousins did throw 8 touchdowns in this matchup, and no Cade Otton absolutely helps. And then last but not least, I am going to go with Rashad White. A little sneaky here. Bucky Irvin did suffer a little bit of an injury last week with the ankle. And maybe that's why Rashad got the run that he did. Atlanta allows the 13th most rushing yards per game. And they're 4.5-point favorites. So I can see them obviously getting volume late in the running game. So I don't think it's too much to ask for Rashad White to get 17 damn rushing yards. I mean, he got 50 last week. So there's that. I'm also going to go in, even though, you know, maybe even strike it from the damn record because we're all scared, I guess, of Mike Evans not playing a lot. But if he's on the field, which is going to be, and it's like first and goal at the 8, they're throwing it to Evans. So I'm going to take a big Mike touchdown at plus 165. Coming up after we sign off, it is Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 p.m. Eastern on today's show. Jeff Erickson stops by to talk player props and fantasy values for tonight's game. And for the Thursday night special, we're going to go for it on this puppy, and we're going to go in on an anytime touchdown on Sean Tucker. I looked at the data. I wrote it on the article on VSiN, but they have been really bad against the man and gap runs, have the Falcons. That is Sean Tucker's jam. So I can see him getting some volume late in the game and then popping off a long run that he takes to the house. And if he does, it's a plus 550 situation. Good luck with the plays. Enjoy the game, and we'll catch you at mañana. Ah, I hit it.